This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the January 30th edition of Invest Talk. If you're the average investor, you're likely leaving some money on the table. Suffering losses you shouldn't have to. You really shouldn't. Making decisions based on emotions, maybe paying extra fees you may not even know about. So that's what the show is about. Here to help you optimize your returns, minimize your risk. And that's why we call it above average investing for the average investor. Well, you saw this week, I guess we got bored with the market going up and up and up and up. And so now we've had 2 days of steady down, pretty big down day today. There are five Dow stocks that fell 4% today or more. So what was the basis for the sudden drop? The basis. Okay, there's the rumor out there it was healthcare today about, you know, I won't go through it, but Amazon and another company agreeing that maybe Google and Amazon saying maybe we'll provide our own healthcare for our employees. Well, of course, all the healthcare stocks don't like that. But is that really what caused the market to fall today and yesterday? I don't know if I'm buying that. I'm not. I'm really not buying it. You can come up with any excuse. The fact remains that the market was just overstretched. It was overbought. That's all. Time for a correction. And how far a correction? Who knows? But it got overbought. Markets don't go in one direction all that fast in a short period of time without something happening. And then you're going to find people blaming something else for the cause of that happening rather than just it's a normal reflex after a market's gone up sharply in a very short period of time, like in a month. That's all. It's a normal reflex to sell off, take some profits. Anyway, so tonight as the president delivered his State of the Union speech, you're going to stay up and listen to that or be up to listen to it? So how does the market usually react when one of these speeches, after one of these speeches, the next day? Well, since 1961, the Dow has made gains of more than 1% on the day after the State of the Union address or similar speeches by presidents only five times. So, we'll find out after two down days, we'll find out, right? So, let's talk about that. 888-99-CHART. Right now, it's turn to pick up a question on our 24-hour list line, 888-99-CHART.
I have a question for the show about putting a stopgap in for a potential market downturn. I know that you can do it on stocks where you can put a stop price, but I have predominantly mutual funds in my portfolio, and I'm 5 years from retirement with a relatively aggressive portfolio. And my question is, can I put a stopgap if the market drops significantly at, I don't know, 5 or 7% to say if it hits that and I can't sell fast enough that it would sell automatically? Thanks, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, you can put that kind of order for stocks. Mutual funds, you can. Obviously, they only trade at one time, at the end of the day. But for stocks, you can. You can put an order in, say, if it sells at this price or lower, I want out at the very next trade, fast as possible. Those orders, it's not a stop limit order. A limit order says I want to sell at a certain specific stock price. So if the stock goes to that price, sell. But what if it jumps beyond that price downward? So you don't put a limit order, a stop limit order. It's a stop order. Stop, you sell the stock after it reaches price or lower. Okay, and they sell as fast as can once it hits that number. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So when you're considering a company as a prospective target for investing in, putting your dollars in it, what are you looking for generally? Of course, we're all looking for a good, solid company run by good CEOs. We call that stewardship, by the way. And it means management making decisions with shareholder interests in the forefront. That's a good stewardship. So corporate officers, and in particular CEO, make decisions about how to spend company cash. The first priority is to invest in ongoing business so that they can continue to service their customers. This usually includes, you know, capital spending on plants, equipment, employees, etc. The second priority usually concerns growth of the company, mainly by spending on research and development or making acquisitions or new products, whatever. Once those two priorities are met, they may have money left over, and they may return that to shareholders in a dividend. They could do that. Buy company stock back. They can do that. That dividend is very attractive. I do like that. There has been a lot of attention to companies lately that are buying shares at a fast pace, their own company, borrowing money in the bond market because it's really cheap, buying their own shares without borrowed money. There's even a new ETF called the PowerShares Buyback Achievers ETF. The problem with this is that usually companies buy their shares when they are expensive, and they stop those programs when the stock is cheap. And of course, that erodes your shareholder value of that company over time. That's not a smart thing to do. So I like dividend payments. I like that as far as being more shareholder friendly than buybacks, believe it or not. So just be careful of stocks whose price appreciation has been pushed up by share repurchases. That's not always the best thing. It's not always a bad thing either. This is a problem. You got to look at it and try to understand, is this a good place to be buying these shares? Is the company using the money in the best way they can? By the way, I think that a lot of them are not doing it right now. Anyways, do you have any questions, research in a company, and capital allocation? Please feel free to ask. I would love to talk to you. Today we're going to talk about millennials and anyone who knows one. It's Investing 101 for millennials. That's going to be our main talking point. Plus, I have a couple others, a few others. Ordinary people are skiing, and I'm not talking about going snow skiing. Do you know what skiing means? They're skiing because their 401ks are over $1 million. A lot more over $1 million 401ks recently, and they're skiing. I'll explain that in a bit. Home ownership is at a three-year high. Do you think it's anywhere close to the all-time high in 2004? Valueline. Do you know who Valueline is? It's a Valueline Investment Survey. They do a survey, Valueline Investment. They're a big research firm. They follow closely like 1,700 companies. Do you know they have a timing mechanism that has been very accurate over long, long periods? And do you know what it's saying right now? Those are three things I'm going to discuss here today, hopefully, if we have time. And I'm hoping you'll be a part of the show. So give me a call. What happened to the market today? The Dow fell 362 points. Wow. That was after, 100 points yesterday plus? And the Nasdaq down 64 points, the S&P down 31 points, and no one's freaking out yet, you know, but it was a pretty steep 500 points in 2 days on the Dow, down 500 points. Now, is that a lot? Not percentage-wise, really, it's not. 26,000 something? I mean, what is that? 2%? That's not very much. It's really not. So it's not. There's no panicking here. You know, it has to drop a lot more than that before anybody should start to panic. And we'll see. You know, what will happen, and it's very typical, is when a market shoots up like it did in January. Now it's pulling down. Okay, it's normal. It's like stretching a rubber band and let it pull back before you stretch it out again. And that's what will happen. It will now bounce up somewhere. I don't know if today, tomorrow will do it. It might be next day or the day after that. But, you know, I don't think you should worry about it too much. This is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. After two down days, we'll see you about tomorrow, won't we? The market's ready for a reversal. I just don't know if it'll be tomorrow. Could be. You're listening to InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART is our number. And it ain't 99 Charlotte. Let's talk to Daniel. How you doing, Daniel? Palo Alto.
Hi. Good to talk to you, Steve. Listen to you on 1220 every day. Just wondered, just on
Thank you, appreciate what you were saying
about the market today, whether you would be buying the dip that happened today, particularly in the healthcare sector. I was stopped out of BRX, was tempted to wait and maybe pick it up a little lower.
Well, I'll tell you this. I do think it's an opportunity in the healthcare sector. Are you talking about Omega Health?
I'm just talking about,
In
general.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's an opportunity in that sector because I think that sector is pretty many of those stocks were already reasonably priced. So I think you got an opportunity here, and I think I would take advantage of it. I might wait another day or two, though, Daniel, to make sure the market is not giving up more, you know. But, okay. Yeah, I think it's an opportunity. I do.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I see very good value in that, Daniel. Thank you. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, everybody. I have a question for you. Oh, pardon me? Okay, we're going to go to a talking point before that. Okay, let's talk about, I'm really getting messed up here. I'm having computer problems, everybody. Just bear with me if you would. Investing 101 for millennials. Now, millennials are actually starting to save some money. They're starting to put money aside and preparing for whatever it is, buying a house, getting married, or having a family, whatever. But there's been more and more millennials doing that. And if you're a millennial and you haven't started, you need to start. First thing you do is set aside, some emergency money. That's the first thing you do. 3 months to maybe 6 months, monthly expenses are set aside for emergencies. Then you need to max out your retirement account contributions. If you've got a 401k, you got to use that. Maybe get all the money you can if your employer shares, by matching. If not, then put it money aside yourself in a 401k or an IRA. You have to do that. Make a plan. Whether you're buying a house for the future or getting married or whatever it is, make some plans. Determine how much money you're going to spend, how much you need to save, where you're going to save it, how you're going to protect it, that kind of thing. And, of course, for a millennial, I think a Roth IRA in your future is very, very important. I would definitely suggest that you start a Roth. I like both regular and Roth types of accounts. So I would, if you can, do both. And you've heard me talk about the taxes at retirement and why I'd like the Roth, keep you in a low tax bracket in retirement when you're taking money out of your savings account, your retirement accounts. So those are things you have to start doing if you're a millennial. If you haven't already done it, I mean, the key is have money set aside for emergencies and start putting money aside for retirement. That's extremely important. Okay? I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. I have a question for you. What's the first thing an investor should do before they click buy for any financial product? Of course, the first step is to determine what you want to achieve with your investing. What are you doing? Are you trying to, you can make it very simple. Are you looking for growth? Are you looking for income? Are you looking for safety? What is it? What's your goal? Over what period of time? You have to know these things. You have to know what you're doing with your portfolio. Now, can I help you answer that question? 888-99-CHARTER is how you reach me right now.
Hello, Steve and Justin. I just had a question regarding GEO Group, GEO. I know it's a company that you guys have liked a lot. It seems to be a strong REIT and trading at a pretty good range, at a pretty low valuation right now. I was just wondering if you're concerned at all about the dividend. It looks like right now the payout ratio was over 100%. Should we be worried that that's going to get cut? And just what are your general thoughts on GEO Group right now? Thanks. Bye.
Okay, no, the payout ratio is not 100%. Remember, this is GEO Group, everybody. It's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust. Remember, REITs. REITs are defined by paying out 90% of their earnings in the form of a dividend to the shareholders. So they have to pay out 90% of their earnings. So this REIT is going to make $2.01, actually. In 2016, they made $2.01 a share. 2017, they're going to make $1.94, and those earnings should be coming in fairly shortly. And then this year, $1.99. It's a $22.59 stock, and that's a 8% yield. So 8 of $22 is like $1.70, $1.80, and it's $1.99 they're going to make. So it's close to the 90%. So I think it's a pretty decent REIT, and it's going to be able to pay what they're supposed to. The worry is are they going to be able to make the money that they say they're going to? Because sales have been going down. I mean, a year ago, they were in their teens. Now it's 2% sales growth. So if sales are going down, profits are flattening, and therefore, there's where your worry is. They do have quite a bit of debt, but a REIT usually has debt. And the stock has fallen from $31.50 down to $22. And it looks like it's trying to find support here. But I wouldn't be a buyer until I see some strength coming into the stock. I just would not. So that's why I have a GEO, everybody. GEO is the symbol. And it's a REIT. And I think you need to be patient. I just think you need to be patient. If you're buying it, you are going to buy it for the dividend, and that's the only reason why you're buying it. And it's really, you know, the five-year range of the P.E. ratio is 5 to 17, and it's only at 11, so it's not that cheap. Let's talk to Aaron in New York. How are you doing, Aaron?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
So I wanted to call and ask you your thoughts on venture capital generally, and whether you had any thoughts about investors who are considering investing in a VC fund.
Well, I like VCs. You know, it's a high-risk game, Aaron, where the VCs know that most of their investments in these startup companies will be worthless. But they don't care. They only need one or two to win, and it's a huge win, and they make tons of money. So long as you're willing to take that kind of risk, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, you know, Justin and I invested in a startup company. It's doing very well a couple, three, 4 years ago. But we didn't do it with a lot of money. We did it with money that, you know, well, if we lose it all, we lose it all. So that's kind of the mental attitude you have, Aaron. I'm going to invest in this VC venture capitalist company, and they could lose a ton of money, not make money for years, and then all of a sudden they make a huge amount. So, or they can make a huge amount from the get-go. You just never know. So, but I do not have a problem with you investing in them. Just do it with a very reasonable amount of money that you don't mind to risk. Okay? Appreciate
fair enough. And would you prefer to do it in a taxable account or in a tax advantaged account, to the extent it matters?
I'd probably rather do it in a tax advantaged account, because if it is a huge win, I don't want to sell it and pay a huge capital gains on it. And remember, you're shooting for the moon with these things. That's really what you're trying to do. So use it in a tax advantage account. Use that money. Appreciate the call. 888-99 Charter is our number, everybody. 888-992-4278. Now, recently there's been a study by Fidelity, and it says the millionaires with 401ks moved up from 89,000 millionaires in their 401ks to 133,000 in 1 year, in the last year. The problem is these people are skiing. What does that mean? Well, it's a term coined by somebody, I don't know, long ago. It's called spending your kids' inheritance. Skiing. Because of the recent stock market boom, they feel they're rich. And this is extremely dangerous. Because they're not rich. They're comfortable. $1 million is not nearly enough to be going out spending money, like, you know, on things that are kind of foolish. But that's what's happening. They're seeing more and more, more of that happening. Retirement accounts recently went from 27 We're up at $27 trillion. That's up from $12 trillion in 2000. So you have a lot of people getting up to that millionaire, and they feel like that's the goal and that's the plateau, I'm done. Look what happened to the market the last 2 days. You can't get complacent and start spending your money, especially retirement money, just because you've got $1 million in it now. Be more careful. Coming up on next on Invest Talk, how to pick better exchange-traded funds. That's one of our topics on the next Invest Talk. But for right now, we want to hear your talking point. My direct line between 4 and 5 Pacific time is 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. The process of investing is more than just picking stocks. Investing begins with savings, of course, and along the way, there are issues about taxes and then estate planning and on and on. KPP Financial clients have a ready resource of information about any and all of these personal financial matters. All they need to do is ask. Managing your money gets more complex every day, and there are more options than the average person could possibly comprehend. And when we're confronted with too many choices, research shows that people put off decisions, important decisions. Most times, that's not productive. KPP Financial's philosophy is the more their clients know, the more successful they'll be, and the more predictable their future will be. KPP Financial, serving the average investor, helping them find solutions. Now let's continue with the podcast. You're listening to Invest Talk, and we're listening to you. Get your question to us now at 888-99-CHART. That's how to reach Invest Talk anytime.
Yes, sir. This is Sayed from Illinois. Good morning, Steve or Justin. I have a question about two stocks. I have it in my portfolio. Not too much, but they both are 50% down. MNK, that is Mellink Rod PLC, and Newell Brands, that's NWL. What do you think? I like to buy some just to add in for long-term hold, another couple, two years, 3 years. So please give me your thought. Thank you. I love your show.
Okay, Mellinckx PLC, MNK, is a UK-based developer of branded pharmaceuticals to treat a wide variety of health conditions. It is a $1.7 billion company, so it's kind of a small cap, trying to become a mid-cap. They're going to make $7.18 this year, but they made $7.63 last year, so that's like 6% less. And then next year, they're going to lose another 2% off of that to $7.05. And it's an $18 stock. So from a P.E. range ratio, it's very low. But they have a lot of debt. And sales are going down. So, and the stock has fallen. So, we need to sell. We need to find out why are the sales going down. Have they run out of product? Did something come off patent? What's the problem? You don't want to own pharmaceuticals unless they have a good, stable of products and a healthy pipeline of new products coming down the line. And just by the stock action, I can tell you they probably don't have that. I mean, I can't tell from where I'm reading, what I see here, but it makes me nervous. I will say this. Insiders are buying, but insiders only own 1%. Mutual funds are selling. There was 1,000-plus mutual funds a year ago, and today there's 788. They're the ones that drive down the price. Big institutions. And mutual funds own 70% of it still. So I would be very, very careful at this point. If it was me, it broke below support today, I'd probably get out. MNK. M-N is Nancy K. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Home ownership reached a three-year high in this recent month. Three-year high. The all-time high was 69.1% in 2004. 69.1%. 2004 was the all-time high in home ownership. At the bottom, it was 62.9%. So don't think that there's a big, huge stretch here. It's from 69 down to 63, basically. And that was in 2016, the bottom, 62.9. Now, in the fourth quarter, just as most recent quarter, according to the Census Bureau, it jumped to 64.2%. Why is any, you know, that's up 2%, you know. Why is this important? Why are we looking at this? What's important is who is buying, because the census gives us the age group of who's buying. And the group, the home ownership and the group that we haven't seen much action is finally starting to heat up, and that is the millennials. 35 years or younger jumped 30 to 36% in the fourth quarter from 34, the largest group, age group that jumped. And just for you to know, the age group 45 to 54 year olds, that fell. The home ownership in that group fell. Only fell about a point, but it did fall, didn't go up. So we're seeing the millennials are starting to impact the home ownership. And remember, we have, last week I reported that we had pretty low inventory in existing home sales. I mean, it was like 2 months. So there's very low inventory out there. A new home sales was 4 months, or was it vice versa? Anyways, that's low. Low inventory. So that means the prices are probably going to continue to rise. What I'm thinking. The only way that this will stop is if the Federal Reserve raises rates high enough to cause mortgage rates to go high enough to make people stop buying. And I'm not sure that's going to happen anytime soon, because the Federal Reserve knows that. They're not going to want to spoil the party of the home ownership buying. You know, that's a big I don't know, leg of our economy is real estate. They don't want to put the kibosh on the health of the real estate market. It's just not something they're interested in doing. But they do want to get interest rates up. You know, they shot themselves in the foot. They're the ones that caused the whole problem in the first place, going down so low. But, you know, hindsight is always perfect, so I don't want to criticize, but they are the ones that got themselves in the box that they're trying to get themselves out of. So why don't you invest a few minutes and check out our book section on investtalk.com. Besides my book, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor, you'll see a whole catalog of titles that we have, that I and Justin have personally selected. I mean, we actually read these books and personally selected and put them on the list. Okay, but there are books that will expand your perspective there too, not just books on investing. So visit the recommended books section on investtalk.com, books that should be in your library.
Here are the directions for reaching Steve this afternoon with your question. Just call 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T. Have a question about how best to get into the market? Or maybe you're feeling unsure about your current investments. That's what this is all about. This is InvestTalk.
Hello, Invest Talk. I'm a 22-year-old investor, so you consider me really young for investing. I have a question on the stock VWDRY. It's Vestas Wind Systems. I plan on buying and holding it for an extended period of time, because wind power is a upcoming industry. So I'll be looking forward to hearing if it's a good buy or not on your program. Thank you.
Okay, it's Vestas Wind Systems out of Denmark, everybody. So it's an ADR, American Depository Receipt, a foreign company traded on our exchange. So the symbol is VWDRY. Danish developer of wind technology that uses the energy of the wind to generate electricity. They made $1.59 in share in 2016, and I don't have 2017's earnings yet, and I don't even have an estimate. But sales are going down. In the June quarter, we're down 11%. In the September quarter, they're down 1%. We haven't got the most recent fourth quarter numbers yet. They are, you know, it's a $22.70 stock. Very good return on equity of 32%. Very good cash flow, $2.23. What's interesting is the management of the company and mutual funds have very little ownership. That's interesting. And it does not trade very much. I mean, 106,000 shares is the average daily volume, and that's pretty darn low, pretty low. The stock fell hard from $32 in, what, July, August, all the way down to, what, at $19 here in December. And then now today it's at $22, so it's made a comeback off the low. So it looks like, you know, it rallied both in the month of December and January, it fell. So it topped right in the beginning of January, first week or two in January, topped, and it's fallen last 4 or 5 days. It was up today. Think about that. Up 3% on a day like today when the market is down hard. So that tells me, I think it's got some legs in it. So I want to know why the sales are falling. But other than that, the company doesn't look overly expensive. It looks pretty decent, great cash flow, good return on equity. I wish management owned more. I'd look into that too. But I definitely would be very concerned of why sales have fallen. A lot of these kind of companies, like electric car companies, wind generation companies, are subsidized by governments. Okay, meaning that the government is giving tax credits for somebody who builds a wind farm or buys a Tesla. You get something, the government is giving you a tax benefit for that. And when they take that away, that's when these stock kinds of stocks really get hurt. So I'm wondering if something like that happened to them, and that's why it fell hard. Was there some subsidy in a company in a country they do business in? Taken away? Is that why? Is that why sales fell? See, that's the kind of thing you want to find out before you invest in this company. VWDRY is the symbol. VWDRY. Okay, Value Line. Do you know who Value Line is? They've been around forever. They're a research firm. I used to look up before the advent of computers and data. Value Line used to put out like every month or 2 months about 20 or 30 different reports on the stocks they follow. They follow 1,700, and it's really intensive, a lot of information, really short. It used to be one of the core research tools used by a lot of people. And that kind of went out by the wayside because it was all paper, right? But they still do it. And they do it the same way they did before, except it's not on paper. The research is what's in count. And they have a survey called VL Map, Value Line Map. And MAP stands for Median Appreciation Potential. And what it is, they would give these companies, they would research these companies and then give a score of their potential going forward 3 to 5 years from now. And they would conglomerate all that data of 1,700 companies and come up with an overall score of the whole universe of 1,700 companies. These are usually big companies, not the small ones. They don't track small companies. Now, when that number is the VLMAP number is at 20%, when the long-term average is at 75%, that means the market is overvalued. Overvalued when it's low. 20% is very low, but it's been very low for several years. But when that is, that means this market is very overvalued. For instance, in 2009, at the bottom of the stock market, their number was 185%. Remember, this is a projection of medium appreciation potential. The market's going to go up 185% over the next 3 to 5 years. Now they're saying the market may go up 20% 3 to 5 years. And if you they've been using this as a timing model. When it's real low like that, that means the market's way overvalued. You get out of the market because there's not a lot of potential going forward. That's what that means. So it's at 20. But try to remember, it's not, they don't know when the move will be over. They don't know if it goes from 20 down to 15 or 10. They don't know that before it bounces. All they know is that the average is 75 and is now 20% appreciation over the next 3 to 5 years. It's usually 75% appreciation over the next 3 to 5 years. And when it was the market crashed in 2008 and bottomed in 2009, the 3 to 5 year appreciation target was 185% more. Interesting, huh? Now, let's take another question from our 24-hour listen line. 888-99-CHART is the number.
Hey, guys, good show. I'm looking at selling Kroger. I'm up almost 25%, and I'm wondering if it's getting a little overheated. Kroger, KR. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's see what kind of valuation we have on Kroger. It's selling for $30.83 today, operates 2,700 supermarkets, convenience stores, jewelry stores, under Kroger, Ralph's, Quick Shop, and other names. They're going to make $2.10 next year. They're going to make $2.04 this year. That's down 4% from last year, where they made $2.12. So $2.12 down to $2.04 this year, then up to $2.10 next year. They're growing like the big grocery stores do grow in the lower single digits, about 4% sales. That's what they're growing. They have a very small yield of 1.6%. P/E ratio is 16, and five-year range is 10 to 21. So they make $2.10 next year, and that means the P/E ratio is about 16, 17. And to me, mind you, it has a very good return on equity, 30%, great cash flow. It's a very well-run company. I don't want you to think I'm bad-mouthing the company. I'm not. It's just that it's certainly at fair value right now. I don't think it has a lot more on the upside to go. I don't. It's at $30.83. The highest it's been was $42 in 2015 and 2016. But this is a fair value based on the price, in my opinion, right about where it is. And it could go up another few dollars, but you're getting close. Looks like there's a lot of resistance coming up, so I'd be very careful. Yeah, I'd take some profits. You're listening to Invest Talk. Where's the weakness in your portfolio? Are there stocks or funds that aren't producing anymore? If you're in it for the long run, what's good cause for pruning some stocks? We just talked to the guy. How do you prune? There's the one you can prune. Check in at 888-99-CHART, our direct line right now. Any money questions are welcome.
Hi, guys. It's Dave from Detroit. I really enjoy the podcast. Great information, so thank you. A question is about the Fed's decision to start raising interest rates in earnest in 2018. I know in particular that a stock I hold, DTE Energy, part of the utilities sector, is affected by interest rate rises. So my question, twofold, what's your outlook for DTE Energy in general? And what other segments besides utilities are both positively and negatively affected by interest rate increases? Thanks. I look forward to hearing your answer.
Well, DTE, everybody, DTE Energy, provides electrical natural gas utility services to 2.2 million people in the Detroit area. They're going to make $5.52 this year. That's up 5% from last year. $5.71 next year, another 3%. Sales are growing, 10, 11% the most recent quarter. Before that, it was up 20. So the numbers look pretty good, but the price is kind of steep. It's $104 stock. They're going to make $5.71. So what is it, close to a 20 PE? And the five-year range is 15 to 23. And he's right. Utilities usually suffer when interest rates rise. And the main reason is because they usually carry a lot of debt, or they have to refinance their debt, or they're going to borrow more money to build stuff. They are notorious for doing that. This pays a 3.4% dividend, And you're going, well, why would, in my mind, the thing that, in my mind is, why do utilities carry a lot of debt and then also pay a high dividend? So they're borrowing money to pay a high dividend. That never made sense to me for some reason. It just doesn't. What other industries might be affected by rising or lowering of interest rates? REITs. REITs don't do well when interest rates rise. Same reason. They carry a lot of debt. Now, surprisingly, when interest rates rise, as long as it's slow, banks do better. Banks like it. They make more money. Remember, they borrow money cheap from the Federal Reserve and lend it dearly to you and me. As long as it goes up slow, we all get used to borrowing more higher borrowing costs. Usually, banks benefit from higher rates. So, in general, you can think in terms of if companies that carry a lot of debt don't do as well in a rising interest rate environment than companies that don't. Okay? It's pretty much that simple. I mean, there's nothing rocket science about it. Okay, time for that's their opinion. Who's saying what about your money? And we're going to talk about founder Jack Bogle, founder of Vanguard. Jack Bogle. He's 88 years old now. He says, avoid Bitcoin like the plague. This is from Bloomberg Markets. And we're talking about Bitcoin. We already know. And what's interesting, he said this, I don't know, about a month or so ago. And, of course, you know what's happened to the Bitcoins and other cryptocurrencies since then. They've fallen pretty hard. Anyway, he's legendary. Jack Bogle's legendary. And he said you should pull your money from Bitcoin, any cryptocurrencies, and stay with the S&P 500. Avoid Bitcoin like the plague. And he said, did I make myself clear? He said in response to an honest question at a Council of Foreign Relations event in New York, the virtual currency has skyrocketed 900% this year, and that's talking about 2007, 2016, and hovered around 10,000, okay? Bitcoin has no underlying rate of return, says Bogle, who stated the first index, who started the first index in 1976. You know bonds have an interest coupon. Stocks have earnings and dividends. Gold has nothing. There's nothing to support Bitcoin except the hope that you will sell it to someone for more than you paid for it. It's crazy, this is what he's saying, to invest in the digital asset. Bitcoin may well go over 20,000, but that won't prove I'm wrong. When it gets back to $100, we'll talk. Bitcoin. He thinks it can easily go down to $100. That's what he said. Now, he is right. There's no underlying anything to support it. But what about other currencies, regular currencies? We took it off gold standard decades ago. That's supported. Time to wrap it up. A reminder, if you'd like to learn more about the range investing programs offered by KPP Financial, complete descriptions are right there in investtalk.com. Go to investtalk.com. You'll see them. Look for the investments tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. I thank you for spending time with me today. Justin Klein and the whole KPP family want to thank you. Let's meet again tomorrow right here.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.